You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
40 years ago this week, here is your headline.
As a result of this trip, we have started the long process of building a bridge across that gulf. And even now, we have something better than the mere absence of war.
That's President Richard Nixon, president at the time, 40 years ago this week, discussing his historic state visit to China, a unbelievably earth-shattering, world-changing trip that brought the president face-to-face with Mao Zedong, first chairman of the Communist Party in China. It also transformed the global playing field, among other things. Joining us now, Winston Lord, who served as aide to then-Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, accompanied him and then-President Nixon throughout their tour in China. And Lord later served as U.S. ambassador to China from 1985 to 1989. And he joins us from New York. Winston Lord, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you on a nostalgic day.
It is. It's a nostalgic moment, I think, especially considering what's happened since that trip. And I wonder, I mean, this is one of the times in which President Nixon calling this trip earth-changing, world-changing, was actually completely accurate. What do you think was the biggest change that came out of that?
Yeah, he said in a banquet in China that it was the week to change the world, and in fact, that this was not the kind of spin you usually get. It was actually a preview. First of all, both countries had been locked in hostility for 20 years and fought each other in Korea, and it was totally unexpected. It transformed the landscape. The near-term effects, including getting us help to improve relations with the Soviet Union by getting leverage on both communist powers, helped us to end the Vietnam War. And China, in turn, broke out of its diplomatic isolation and got reassurance against its northern neighbor, the Russians, whom they'd had a border clash with. So both sides achieved immediate gains, but also over the longer run, you can see what's happened in Asia and in U.S.-China relations.
It's interesting, in the article that you co-authored, you posit that perhaps President Obama or other leaders could take tips from President Nixon, that perhaps we could use the same strategies that Nixon used in China in our relations with Iran. Why do you say that?
Well, there's no question, as Les Gelb and I said in the Daily Beast yesterday, it's on the one hand difficult in today's polarization, bitter partisanship, but the same principles advise. First of all, takes courage and vision on the side of both the United States leader and whoever we're dealing with. Secondly, you have to make sure in advance, if you're trying a dramatic move, that you don't have a debacle and it's going to succeed at least in freezing the situation. So you need some secret contacts in advance. Again, difficult today, but not impossible. Thirdly, both sides have to agree to postpone the most difficult issues sometimes, like we did it in the Nixon trip. We postponed the Taiwan issue, and both sides have to see that they get great contributions out of this in terms of their own national interests. It can't be a zero-sum game, to use the jargon, so you have to be realistic. All these principles could apply to the Iranian situation. Of course, it's difficult, but, for example, Secretary Clinton could meet secretly with the Iranians to make sure that there was a general understanding of what would emerge. Then the president could meet with the head of Iran and try to freeze the situation on uranium enrichment no more, get greater inspections, leave the ultimate resolution to the future, work out practicalities in the Straits of Hormuz. I'm not saying it'd be easy, of course not, but sometimes you have to leapfrog stalemates and transform the landscape as Nixon did, with the kind of courage and vision that was shown 40 years ago.
We're speaking with Winston Lord, who served as aide to then-Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and accompanied both Kissinger and President Nixon during their tour in China. And still with us this hour is Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About History series. And Ken, your thought is that we may not be able to accomplish what Nixon did today.
Well, I think the important point is that Nixon was the only one who could have done this. I think that if a liberal Democrat, for instance, George McGovern had been president, or even Hubert Humphrey had attempted this, the polarization certainly existed for a very, very long time. Nixon, because he was the anti-communist warrior from the beginning
Taiwan
of his career,
right?
The man who, you know, challenged the whole communist. He built his political career on anti-communism in the Senate. He was the only one who could have done that. If Barack Obama were to make such a bold move today, I believe that he'd be pilloried by the right.
Well, let me put that to you, Winston Lord. Do you believe that only Nixon, with his conservative credentials, could pull something like this off?
I agree it was easier for the reasons the professor cited. No question about that. His flank was protected because he was anti-communist, and et cetera. Having said that, and I'm not, again, what we're talking about in this Daily Beast blog that Gelb and I did is not that it necessarily replicates exactly, and it is more difficult, I agree, with the polarization. But instead of slogging away at difficult issues and sliding toward war, sometimes you make a bold move, you can transform both the geopolitical landscape and your domestic situation. So if Obama was able to freeze the Iranian program and avoid war in the Straits of Hormuz while we continue to work at the longer-range problem and have the internal pressures within Iran help us, there's no question that that would be a tremendous breakthrough. I'm not saying it's easy, and again, we're not pointing necessarily just to Iran, but the kind of political courage and vision, the secret preparation, advance avoidance of tobacco, freezing if necessary, realism, these kind of principles can be still applied in today's world.
Although, Winston Lord, I think in today's world, Nixon would have been accused of being a flip-flopper, like Mitt Romney.
Not when it's clearly in the American national interest, and of course you wouldn't do this unless you did it. So I still think there's room in this world for courage and vision. You take the Middle East, which is awfully difficult. Everyone knows that within 30 seconds we could sit down and write what the ultimate solution would be, and it may be at some point the parties are going to have to leapfrog the current slogging away and sliding back, as you see also in Iran, and make a bold move. So that's all we're talking about. The world has not changed so much that there isn't room for vision and courage and realism.
That's Winston Lord, Henry Kissinger's closest aide when he was Secretary of State, accompanied both Kissinger and then President Nixon to China during their tour there. Lord later served as U.S. Ambassador to China from 1985 to 89. Winston Lord, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And thank you to Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About History series, 40 years this week since Nixon's trip to China.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.